Welcome back to LSD, guys. It's Sadia.
And it's your girl, Irene.
I feel like we haven't spoken to you guys in a minute. Yeah, we haven't stirred the pot in quite a while. And I think that means the rice is burning. So let's get cooking.
Yep, let's do it.
So today's topic is really interesting because it was brought up in our Clubhouse room and one of our followers just like blurted out, marriage is dead, yo. Like marriage is dead. And that is actually the topic of tonight. Like, is marriage dead? Is the concept of a union like dead with this generation, which will explain why, we had more people getting married 20 years ago, 30 years ago. This generation, why is it like, not so much?
I got my strong views, which I did share.
Give them to me, Irene.
So when we were having this conversation on Clubhouse, I likened it to a gem, right? So you take a gem that's valuable, that once appreciated, it's something that's beautiful. You know what I mean? If you have it around someone that knows its value, it'll be cherished, it'll be kept. But just like anybody, we get tired, we get comfortable. And instead of like, let's say it's a engagement ring and it's a diamond ring. At first, I'm careful. I ain't trying to get nothing on it. A little years later, I'm like taking the ring off. Let me just put this here. Like we kind of, you know, with time, you get comfortable with things, but it doesn't change the value of the gem. So for me, marriage is like a gem. Mm-hmm. It was something that was instituted for the blessing to people, not only of power, but of family and of love, commitment and values and so many other things. And I think what happens is somewhere along the way, we just got comfortable. We lost the value, and we saw examples of marriage not value. So to some, it's dead.
Do you think it's really because a lot of people didn't see healthy marriages growing up? Like it's kind of like you're a product of your environment, right? If you didn't have a view of what a healthy marriage looked like, it's kind of hard for you to value or to see the value in marriage as a whole. And I say that because I'm thankful that my grandparents were married, right? And till death did them part. And, you know, my dad and my stepmom, you know, they're married. My dad and my mom, they divorced, but I grew up seeing it, right? And I don't think marriage is dead. I really don't. I think that people have gotten comfortable with the idea of having children outside the marriage, buying houses without saying, okay, this is ours together, not yours because it's on the deed and mine because we're not a union, we're not together, we're not merged, our lives aren't intertwined. And people are like, oh, you don't need a marriage document to do that, you know? Well, granted, you might not, but I'm not trying to be out here fucking 15 dudes and have people trying to, well, let me see, does this guy know what's good for my body? Listen, I'm trying to argue with one person. All right. I'm trying to argue with one person. I'm trying to argue with one penis. I'm not trying to do that, you know, for the rest of my life. Like, oh yeah, this didn't work out. This did test, that didn't work out. So yeah, I don't think it's dead. I just think that our generation is struggling to see the value in it because we didn't have a lot of examples of what it looked like when it goes right. We had too much examples of what it looked like when it went wrong.
100%. I mean, a lot of us are results of like really bad marriages and examples of healthy relationships are supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And we're like so damaged and we all up in therapy and shit. But, you know, it takes me back to courtship. So like, ooh, when I think about courtship, like I think about how the men would pursue the women and the woman, I mean, they would be yes, they all had to find someone for the sake of power and the blah, blah, blah. But there was mm-hmm. also that emotional and attraction thing that mattered to them as well. And that's why when the man pursued the woman in that day and age, like he courted her and there was no physical contact. It was on an intellectual and a deeper level. Like it was up depth because he wanted to know if that was something that he wanted to pursue a kingdom with, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And if the woman would allow it, because in that point, it was like, if once the woman doesn't ask, whatever, at the end mm-hmm. of the day, like, if you're not for me, you're not for me. But it allowed them to get to know each other, to understand each other, to see what their families were like, mm-hmm. how they were raised, their intelligence, their goals, that was like the era of power couples. Like we talk about power couples now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was really the era. So I say all that to say, like, when I think about it, back in the day, like even though sometimes things were done for the sake of family wealth versus emotionalism, or if you really cared for the person, there was still time put in to get to know someone to say, are we a good fit?
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore. There was a process that used to go into it, you know, and I agree. Like things are like really put in the microwave, set on 2 minutes and it's like, pop, it's ready.
Yeah.
In
it's reality, like 90 second rice.
Exactly. And then we're trying to figure out why it didn't work. Well, you know, microwave generation, you put things in there and expect it to come out quickly. It's not going to be the same when you stick it in the oven and you wait a whole hour or two. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that has a lot to do with it. I think we took the negative aspect of it because of the experiences that we had. And then it's like, we put that on, you know, well, marriage isn't going to work for me. No, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I have been married. And if you ask me right now, Irene, are you getting married anytime soon? I would say hell to the no. And for me, I understand the weight that came with it, the trials and tribulations, and also the damage, you know, when mm-hmm. you don't take your time. Yeah. So there's good and bad, but it doesn't mean that I don't want to get married. I know that it means now for me that I need to take my time with whoever mm-hmm. the person is. And I'm not going to rush into it. Like, I'm not even going to think, they're going to have to probably be like, do you want to get married? Honestly, my first one, he was like, when we get married, and I was just like, so this time around, it's like really going to take some time for me to get to know you, get to that point. Because it's no joke, but I think it's a beautiful thing when you honor and respect each other and you feel like you understand that you guys are compatible and you have something that can work in a place of respect and honor.
Yeah. So. I still look at my parents who's been married. I like my stepmom's been in my life since, you know, I don't know, when did Moses part the Red Sea, right? That's how long she's been here. And I look at them now and they're still cute. Like they still flirt and it's gross. It's like, hey guys, hey, I'm in the house, right? Like, ew, right? Right. Yeah. Like, you know, like he has little nicknames for it. He calls her these little nicknames. And I'm just like, you know, she'd be upstairs minding her business. And he like calls her from dad. She's like, what you doing? I was like, dad, leave her alone. Like, leave her alone. Like she's minding her business. Like, leave her alone. Got it. You know, but I look at it and I'm just like, oh God, my parents are, ugh. You know, but then you're like, dang, like I want my kid to be able to see that. Like, I want my kid to see like, dang, my stepdad loves my mom. Like that's what it looks like in its purest form because so while she won't know what it feels like to have a man outside of her family love her until that time comes, she at least knows what it doesn't look like, because she knows what it does look like. She might not know, she might not know because it's a feeling you get, but she can look and you can see when people like genuinely love each other. And I want that. And I feel like, especially with Black couples, right? It's, we struggle to really understand that the power and wealth is in the Black family. Like, people like, oh, well, it's a white man thing. And it's like our ancestors were getting married back in slavery. Like, you gotta relax. Mm-hmm, gotta relax. That's not true. Like,
it was a union. It was done differently, but it was a union nonetheless.
It was a union, and it was a man and a wife, and there were children, and there were two, you know, and where I feel that we've lost sight of that, because all we see sometimes is the negative when it doesn't work out, and not enough what happens when it does work out, when it's done correctly. And I think, like you said, you know, my dad always calls this generation a microwave generation, because we'd be ready to go. And then mm-hmm. when stuff goes wrong, we don't realize, like, whoa, maybe this person was my season and not my reason, or my season and not a lifetime. Like, but I wouldn't know because I didn't take the time to get to know the person. All of a sudden, all the little things that you're doing is pissing me off. And you're like, dang, like, do I really like them? That happened to me last time. I was engaged, right? I was engaged. Who knew? Saya, right? And I realized, you know, I remember one time I went wedding shopping, right? Wedding dress shopping. And I felt nothing when I put on the dress. I felt nothing. And I said to myself, I don't think this is your guy, Sadia. I think you're so ready to get married and you want to get married. You just rushed into it. But I don't think this is your guy, right? And I noticed that because the little things that he started to do just irked my soul. And I just looked around, I was like, can I do this forever?
I laugh at the guy. Whoa, you were in my head, girl.
Like, yeah, no, like, you know, and I remember one time, you know, this was around the time my nephew was born, my first nephew. And, you know, I was showing him pictures because I was so happy. Like, I'm an aunt. Like, oh my God. Right. And I was like, oh my God, look at him. He's so cute. You know, because at that time, you know, everything they do is cute. They drool is cute. Everything they do is cute. And I was showing him it. And he's like, I want my own. And I was like, I ain't giving him to you. And how, if that's someone that you love, mm-hmm. you're just like, you know, and I remember telling him, because I was a bit of a jerk. I had a lot that I had to work on. This attitude, when you see, you know, I had a lot that I had to work on. I remember telling him, well, I don't even know how long we're going to be together. Like, what? That's when I knew for sure. This isn't my guy. He's an amazing guy, but let him go find the person who's going to swoon over him, because it's not me. And he deserves that, right? It's not me. So let's just call it quits and wash our hands and go before it's too hard for us to separate.
Yeah. It's so crazy that you say that, because once it gets too hard for you to separate, it becomes disastrous and detrimental to your emotional way of thinking and your state and just everything. Like, it damages you. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you realize that and you're able to do that, that's great, because I mean, oh my God, some people don't realize that. When you said, I'm laughing. It's like, I was like, holy shit. Like, I'm like, get out of my head though, because I just had a conversation with a friend maybe day before yesterday or something. And they were asking me like about like my past situations and how did I know if I was in love and blah, blah, blah. And I remember once upon a time, and I'm so grateful for growth. Let's just clap. Thank you for growth. Because baby, but you know, you know, once upon a time, like, and I'll get a little personal I had a group of friends. I love all of them dearly. I know a lot of people, but then there's like your core people that you kind of like grew up with, went to school with. And so sadly, out of that group, two of our friends passed away in different car accidents and close times of a couple of years, right? So one of them, every time at first when I guess I'm getting like back into sentimental places of my life, my bad. Let me make this
Come
short.
On, sentimental.
But I know, right? So at one point, you know, I couldn't stand his ass. Like, I swear to God. So we won't get into that. He's annoyed the shit out of me. I used to be like, dude, get out my face, right? And eventually, as we matured and we grew up, I was like, his name was Andres. And I was like, man, like, Andres, you're the coolest person. And we started bonding, like, on a deeper level. Like, and I remember one night we just talked about life and what it was like to have, get married and to have not to get married, because I think I was engaged at the point, but to have kids and so many other things, you know. And I remember the last time I saw him, and I remember thinking he was with a girl, and I didn't want to, like, you know, because I'm a very, anybody knows me personally, I'm so lovey-dovey and oh my God, hi, you know, like, and cutesy. So a girl could be like, who should be? So I didn't want any issues, but I was like, hey, you know. And then he was like, looking at me like, why are you coming to me? Like, let me come to you. Let me greet you. You know who you are. Like, you're good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, so, and he just gave me that look. And I remember right before he left, and this does come, it did come from a place of fear. Which it does happen, because sometimes we fear of losing people. But I remember before he walked away, it was like, tell him you love him. And I was like, I love you. And he was like, I love you too, Irene. A week later, he died in a car accident. And that was rough. And I won't cry. I won't get emotional. But I remember ever since then, I always promised myself that if I cared for somebody, I would always say, I love you. And I would always say, give your flowers to people before they pass. But as beautiful as the story that is, and it does have its impact, and it's still with me to this day, so it teaches me to appreciate those in my life now and say what I need to say. It put me in a position where I would always say, I love you to people. And I love you is a very powerful statement. It comes with a lot of responsibility, and it's not to just be used. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I had this habit of telling people, like, I love them. And imagine if I did that with people that I care about, as somebody that was intimately involved with emotionally. And I came to learn through a series of events, how do you love someone when you don't know that person? Truly. And a lot of the times, like, we spend time with people, but we don't really know that person, but we feel like we love them. We want to love them. We want to give them that emotion because it's a beautiful thing. And it's an honor to say, I love you. But do you understand the weight that comes with it? And are you really in love with this person? You know, so it's like, for me, thinking back to all of that, you got to be really mindful and almost in season, you know what I mean? And understand the weight of things before you step into that type of.
I just want to say, Irene is speaking absolute facts, because Irene started the "I love you, girl" before you got off the phone. I remember the first time you said it; it caught me by surprise, right? And I forgot what we were talking about. We were talking about something in Clubhouse, and then, you know, the baby jumps in, and, you know, she's, yeah, hi, Sadia, you know, with this cute little face, and you know, these little, this little hair full of curls, it's a cute little face. And she's like, okay, girl, I gotta go, because, you know, the baby needs me, I gotta go. And she's like, I love you, girl. And it caught me by surprise. I was like, huh?
I remember that day, though.
I was like, her? Like, I love you too, right? And it's not that I don't, but it's like, I had to take myself out of my comfort zone, because I don't normally say it. Like, of course, you know, you say it to your parents. Of course I say it when I get off the phone with my dad, my mom, my stepmom, my brothers, right? But to have someone that has been extremely close to me in the past year, it's like, and I've had people that have known me for so long that when they get off the phone, they don't say that, right? So to have Irene kind of say it to me, I was like, oh, okay.
I'm dying.
You know, well, shit, I love you too. Which is a fact, but I had to get used to it, because it's so true to just tell people you love them when you know you're feeling it in that moment, and I always say, you know, Irene and I are the polar opposites of each other, but we mesh so well because she, I don't know if you guys know, but she's my Cindy Lou Who. It's Christmas time coming up. Okay.
Hey.
And she makes my Grinchy heart a little bigger because, you know, it's about little small. But on the flip side of that, there are also people who use that to kind of keep you close. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And to not, you know, divulge my business too much, because I honestly think he's one of those listeners within that 31 to
aren't they all boo? You know? They listen. They be listening.
You know, I remember one time, you know, I thought we were a thing, you know, and my fear of us being a thing and him saying no really kept me from asking. So, hey, are we a thing? Right. Even though we're on the phone with each other, we talk every day. But, you know, typical guy stuff, that doesn't mean the same things to them as it does to us. You know, and I remember one time I got fucked up with partner because it was my birthday. Called me on my birthday. Hey, Sadia, happy birthday. Blah, blah. This was back in, had to be 2019, right? Right before the pandemic, because it was right before I moved to Georgia. And I'm just like, you know, because I was mad with him. Okay. And I'll probably say why on another episode when I'm three glasses of wine in.
Yeah, we gotta do that.
So I was angry with him, right? And this was right at the time that Kobe died, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember just the shocking news of him passing was like, what? You know, like, no. It's still surreal to me personally. And he texts me and he's like, hey, Sadia, Kobe died. And, you know, I was like, yeah, I know, you know, I really feel for his family and his wife and, you know, for not only to lose Kobe, but to lose her daughter. Right. And he's like, I love you.
Oh, Sadia.
No, I started punching the air because I was like, how dare you tell me you love me when you haven't spoken to me in 3 months? Take your I love you, shove it up your ass. Okay.
You see the difference?
Yeah, you can jump up my ass with the I love yous because it's bullshit. It's bullshit.
Oh, he was bullshit.
He was bullshit.
Oh, my bad. Okay, never mind. I'm like, oh, fuck it. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah, it was a crock of shit. I didn't believe you because how dare you treat me the way you treated me and then tell me you love me. Come on.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
She's sipping on wine. This is hilarious.
I swear. We shouldn't use that lightly, right? Like you said, there's a responsibility to that when you say that. And like my dad always says, love is a verb, man. It's there means there's action behind of it. And that's how I knew I didn't love old boy the way he needed or he wanted to be loved, because love can see past stupid things. I mean, like the way he brushed his hair pissed me off. Like, that's how I knew I couldn't deal with it. Like,
I've been there, girl. I'm thinking I want every part of this individual. We in the car, we can't even make it. I mean, small little increments of time spent. And I thought to myself, don't get me wrong, everything about everything else was dope as shit. Mm-hmm. But when it came to the basic stuff, I was like, he just gets on my fucking nerves, yo. Yo, I was like, and it's so crazy you say that, because that's why I was like, are you in my head? Because I literally told my friend the other day, I said the same shit. I was like, could you see yourself with this person for the rest of your life like this? Like, and I was like, no, that's crazy. That's when you know, you really know. Like, and it's something my friend, you know, a friend of mine told me, not to say that love is perfect, right? Because I've been through so much traumatic, just unhealthy relationships and stuff like that. But I remember a friend of mine, she was like, Irene, love is not that painful. Love does not hurt that much. You know, and I remember hearing that and thinking, what? Because I was so used to going through so much. And she was like, it's not that hard, Irene. She's like, don't get me wrong, there's little, you know, struggles and, you know, things you go through and blah. But she was like, it is not that painful and it is not that stressful.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember that phrase, and I was like, and I kept that in mind. You know, there is a difference. There is a difference.
Yeah. I mean, that it's crazy because the guy that, you know, the I love you, Mr. I love you, right?
Mr. I love you.
Mr. I love you. What like I in my mind, he was my forever guy. Like he was a perfect fit for me because we laughed, we giggled, we had senseless conversation about stupidness, right? And I can overlook things on him that weren't exactly what I wanted, but I was okay with it because in everything else, he checked all of my boxes, right? I just feel that for me, I was everything that he wanted emotionally and probably underneath, but the physical, the aesthetics wasn't perfect for him, wasn't what he wanted. So if he could take me out of me and put me physically in someone else, it would be his ideal candidate. And here's where I fucked up at. I asked him one day, I said, hey, if you could build your perfect woman out of all the women that you've dated, who would you take from who and why?
That's a great question.
Dude, do you know he told me I would take our chemistry and our vibe? And then he was like, because I asked questions that I know is going to get to the root of the why for me, but they don't know. And this is just me in my mind analytically, like, calculating things. And it's like, we've been doing this for a minute. Like, I thought I was up next, but I was really on the bench. Like, I thought I was, you know, I got next, coach. And he was like, nah, you got to sit down. Sarah, you're up. Right? So when I asked him that, he was like, no, I would take our vibe and our chemistry and our love of music and our laughs and everything that you have core in you. But he took the physical of someone else.
Ouch.
He took the physical of someone else. And that's how I knew it wasn't me. And I thought that the length of time that we've known each other, he would have said, like, hey, it's not you. I could take that. I just couldn't take the prolonging. Like, he was literally breaking my heart. He was literally breaking my heart because it was like, I thought, no, okay. What about me, coach? No. It's like when you know you got the answer for the test, right? And the teacher says, hey, say it out loud, right? Hey, you're like, me. And John, you know? And then they're like, what is the blah, 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 blah? Oh, me. Samantha. That's what was happening, right? And
yeah,
I felt that it was my engagement situation in another situation, because while he ticked off of all of my boxes emotionally and physically and mentally and financially, he wasn't what I wanted aesthetically, right? I wanted that guy, but I wanted the core of him physically and someone else. That's how I knew. That's how I knew I loved Mr. I love you, and not Mr. I'm gonna put a ring on your finger. And with that, I'm out of wine.
Oh, you are? Yeah. You know, it has me thinking, and then we could rear it back to, we're going so deep in these conversations today. Yo. But it has me thinking, like, I think we've had this conversation, Sadia, and I had this conversation with another friend, the same friend, and the phrase was, for females, like, it will only work if the guy likes you more. Now, hold on. I'm touching this shit, and I think we might need to do this again. Maybe, do we need to hold off and do this another time?
No, we are going. No,
full force. Going? This full is going to be a topic, because I was feeling it, and I didn't want to say it. Okay. Oh, listen, right?
I'm going on mute.
Listen, it makes me wonder, right? But my thing is like, I have multiple men, from time to time, and they change and they come and they go, but always really, really like me. And it's, you know, we always talk about we be here out here looking for this person and wanting this person and da da da, and we giving us all to this person, and then this person is trying to give their all to us. We too busy focused on the other person that don't deserve it and blahzy blahzy. And it's so crazy because it's like, now I'm in a season, I got nobody. I'm focusing on myself. It feels amazing. Some hardships, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it'd be like that sometimes. But, you know, and so here I am, and all I have is lots of options, and I don't really care for them right now. Yeah. To be honest with you, right? But they're still there. And so even though my interest isn't sparked and I'm in focus on me season and growing myself and loving myself, there's still those options, and I see them wooing. You notice I've talked to you about, you know, something just like wooing, and I'm just like, I'm just so busy with my daughter. I'm busy with just life. Like, just every single thing that I'm doing that I can barely keep up with my own, let alone somebody else's at this moment, I guess, because I'm focused, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, time and time I look at these people and I'm like, okay, I love this and I love that and I love this and I love that. But this right here, I'm aesthetic thing.
Yeah.
You know, or just little things that I've noticed, like immediately, like in some cases I'll see certain things and I'm like, red flag, like we don't get along. We don't understand each other on this level. So that's, that's a red flag. You know what I mean? Like, we see different ways and he's too, you know, this, and I'm like, okay, cool. But like, for instance, there's one individual, sweetest. I mean, conversation is dope. Aww. He's never given up. Aww. I mean, consistently, matter of fact, when I really think about it, for almost a year and a half, homeboy never stopped, but always his friends, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because I've always made it very clear. But it makes me wonder, not so much about him, but about that concept.
Yes.
Is it that the man has to be more involved than you are? But my thing is, shouldn't the woman like this person as a whole? If she has those reservations, it probably means it's not it. Or is it that she just hasn't gotten there yet, and there may be a possibility? Like, what do you think about that, Sadia?
No, I mean, first of all, I need you to come out of my dating life. First of all, second of all, I'm going to tell you, when it's probably not going to be 10 out of 10 things that you want from a guy, right? But it might be 7, because that's the scenario that I'm in right now, right? But it feels so good to have a man swoon over you the way, once again, that we have swooned over the wrong people. Like, I have swooned over some dudes that gave me 3 out of 10 performance. Listen, first of all, you know how I really knew I had liked a dude? He was terrible in bed. Terrible. Like I wouldn't even get to the point where the climax starts tingling. And I still like them.
I'm cringing. This is not okay.
Listen, let me tell you something. SOS. Mm-hmm. SOS. But,
oh my God.
But that's how I knew I really liked him. Now, oh boy, not recently, oh boy, it feels so good to have a dude like text you good morning, like he's excited to see you, like he's, you know, hey, I just want to check on you, see how your day was, you know, send you breakfast, like, hey, I was just thinking we should have breakfast together, like, you know, I Uber eat some breakfast to your crib, like, you know what I'm saying? And it lets you know, like, I wholeheartedly believe it. The guy has got to like you a little more than you like. And I say that because when I talk to some of my homegirls and I talk to some of my friends, and we're talking about the dating pool that might have a little bit of pee in it, we're not sure just yet. I mean, the jury's still out about that. It's like, I want the chase to be mutual, but guys now they want to be pursued. And I'm like, do you want my last name too? Do you want me to get down on my knee and propose to you? Like, what do you mean you want to be like, so you want the vagina too? What? Like, why do you want to be, what? Listen, I feel that that's that cat and mouse that men pursue women. And I've never shot my shot, but I'm going to position myself in a way to be noticed by you, right? Because it's subtle, because he has to make that initial contact to me, because that lets me know you like me, because I could sit in the corner, yeah, and I could like you, but you could be eyeing Irene. Now, if I right. shoot my shot, I will never know if you were interested in me. You just allowed the easiest target. You just allowed you pretty much just got it with no work. Like, you didn't have to work for nothing. You didn't have to work for them. And that's what it is. I think a lot of times guys just, they want the low hanging fruit. You want the low hanging fruit. Nah, like me.
So my question is, and Inquiring Minds, I'm sure, want to know as they're listening to this, in the life of Sadia Newsom. Now, you said reciprocated. I understand that he's wooed, which means, swooned, which means he's a lot more enticed and captivated than you are. But I mean, I see when you talk about it, you know what I'm saying? So I see that level where you're like, it's reciprocated to a degree where it's cool. It balances out the playing field, I guess, for that type of relationship. Would you agree or disagree?
No, I agree. I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
I think that's important. Like, I don't know, like for me, so I asked that question. I just kind of put it out there to see what you were going to say and then kind of stir up the minds of the listeners. But personally, I think if you have reservations, it's a sign that it's not for you. It's like, not to liken this to clothes, but if I put on an outfit and I'm not like, yeah, this is it. Mm-hmm. Just like the dress, you know what I mean? Like, and there's reservations. Like, I will take it off and I'll put it back because it's like, or I regret it later because now I'm walking around in the store with it and it feels uncomfortable in a certain part of my body. I look and I say, "Ooh, this is not flattering to my body." And then next thing you know, I don't wear it again
because it didn't work. Plain Jane, is it that the dress didn't work for you, or because, you know, sometimes you can have a plain black dress. And the occasion might not call for a plain black dress, but if you put some accessories on it and some badass heels, like, that dress could be kicking shit. So is it that, or is it like, nah, the dress just shows my fupa and I'm not feeling it?
Nah, because girl, you know me already. When it comes to whatever, I like to dress it up. I like to look, when I step out the house, I want to know that I'm looking good, you know? And the dress itself can be beautiful. It doesn't have to be over the top, but it still has to be something I'm comfortable and confident with. Mm-hmm. Whatever I put on next to it, whatever accessories I play around with and wherever it may go with me, like, it still has to be something that I'm sure of. And I'm like, damn, this dress will look good with this. Not, why did I put on this dress? I should have not done it.
No, I think that was a situation in my engagement. I was like, this dress shows my fupa. This dress will never work. But this situation is like, it's just a plain black dress. But I can put some things on it and make this thing.
And it becomes your favorite outfit.
Right.
I got excited.
Yes, and I'm okay if it hugs all of my curves, right? Because, you know, I like, one thing I like is like, when we see each other, there's a lot of excitement, you know, and got this little boyish grin, right? This little, so excited to see you. And I'm like,
I love it.
Really? It's like, your hair's so pretty, like your skin's so smooth, like, aww. And then, and you realize like, this is things that you've been telling people and no one quite told you. And it really warms you up to your core to see that, like, they can't keep their eyes off you. They can't stop touching you. Even if they're like, just holding your hand or touching you. It's like, why are you touching me? Like, you always touch me. Get your hands off me, you know? But I see now, like, what my dad does, like, 'cause my dad's always touching my stepmom. Like, it's like, dude, get your hands off of her. Leave her alone.
He adores her.
But he adores her.
There you go.
Right? Like, you know, she always calls him adorable. Like, she's like, that is my husband is adorable. He is so emotionally, physically attracted to her. It's like, no matter what he does, he just, even 30 years later, he still can't keep his hands off of her. And you got to stop and ask yourself, like, is it just that we've just looked for adornment in the people who really didn't adore us? Like I want my man to adore me. I want him to be excited to see me. I was dating a guy one time, him whose name shall never be spoken.
The name that shall not be named.
Okay. And I swear this dude was angry all the time. Like, why are you like, he always had this permanent scowl. Like he was just angry. I was like, are you okay? Are you happy?
Are you miserable?
Are you miserable? You know, like, what is it? No, I just don't smile a lot. And I'm like,
I can't.
This isn't going to work out.
You know, I think when you're saying all of this, you know, some of y'all ain't going to like this, but it's whatever. Because a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it has to do with the fact that we put the sexual aspect first.
Ooh.
A lot of it. And
it's the giggle for me.
No, because I think about the conversation in Clubhouse and the people who were speaking and kind of like what they promote. Like it's all about sex and fuck everything else. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, ain't that serious? We need all of that, you know, and that mentality, it can only get you so far. Let's be real. And so for me, it's like, when you are focused on solely sex, yeah, some people, and I've said this before, some people do a great job having sex and not allowing it to cloud their judgment in decision making. Some, I don't know many, but they exist. They exist. I don't know many, but they exist.
But the probability, though, doesn't work in
yeah, the no, it never, it the ratio is dreadful. I mean, that's
especially for women. Especially for women.
We're emotional creatures. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, that mindset.
And I wish we would stop acting like we're not. I could do it then. No, you can't. Okay?
Yeah.
You're just not wired like that. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, girl. Yeah, I know. It's a deep conversation. I think a lot of the reason why some people, again, not most, because in other situations, I don't like to make it as a whole, you know, but I think some people say marriage is dead because they're focused on the wrong things. You know, how do you find out if you have a life partner that you enjoy outside of physical intimacy and conversation and goals and ambitions and being one-minded on, and to see if you guys can move as a unit when you just focus on getting it in sexually, it's like, it really does cloud your judgment and it stops you because all you're doing is focused on this aspect, especially when you have many partners and you're just out there just doing your thing, kind of putting yourself out there and seeing many people. And options are great. Don't get me wrong. Options are good because it helps you to balance out and say who you like and which you like and stuff. But it comes a point where, you know, it's that lifestyle. When you find someone that you really want and you're trying to upkeep that or change it, you're going to bring it into that relationship, whether you like it or not. There has to be a point where that is cut off and your mind has to change to a point where you're like, okay, regardless of, you know, I always say, different styles of relationships, that this is somebody that I'm going to honor. And this is somebody I want to spend the rest of my life with. I can't be focused on getting it in with Keisha, Lorraine and Jay while I'm focused on Irene, who I want to be my wife, because, you know, it's just not going to work. It doesn't work that way. So for me, I think that's what ruins a lot of the concepts of marriage, because they're too busy focusing on their own selfish desires and wanting to stay in it.
Do you think it's also that we're not dating like-minded people? Like we know from the beginning whether or not, and having those hard conversations, right? And I remember once again, good old notes of dad telling me that good relationships are always, or healthy relationships are always going to be filled with uncomfortable conversations. The conversations are going to be uncomfortable and you've got to be okay having uncomfortable conversations, right? And to bring it back, it's like, why would you spend your time with someone who you know doesn't want to be married? If you want to be married, then you date people that want to be married. I want to be married. So I'm not listening to nobody talk about marriage is dead. Next, right? We don't need to go nowhere further.
Can we mute? Okay, my bad, sorry.
No! So if you're listening to this, we mean it.
I do. I was about to say, all right, I apologize to nobody.
If you're listening to this, I mean everything. I stand by what I said, 10 toes down, right?
100%.
You date
people. Unapologetically.
Absolutely. You date people who want what you want. If you want to be married, then date people who are married. It saves you so much heartbreak rather than trying to convince someone who doesn't want to be married why they should marry you.
Yes. And you know, that's another thing. I think we have certain ways about us. I think it all goes back to selfish desires. Mm-hmm. Being infatuated with the idea of what we want a person to be because that's what we like. Mm-hmm. When in reality, you're not going to change a freaking soul, no matter how good your sex is, okay. No matter how beautiful and what you have to offer in terms of finances or what, or how you can sweetly talk in the ear and you have the silver tongue mm-hmm. of the decade. It does not matter. Once a person is who they are, you cannot change that. And I think that's a problem too. I think we try to change people. We in hopes.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way, it's like, well, I know that, you know, his love for me and my love for him will, you know, it's a load of illusion. It doesn't help.
I'm going to suck and clean and cook and fuck my way into a marriage. And that's not the way it works. It's not. Sorry, honey. And nothing changes a person but the person wanting to be changed. You can't change them. They have to want to change for themselves, right? Yeah. So save yourself the heartbreak and date people who want what you want. Date like-minded people. I know for me personally, I'm not dating no one that doesn't want a relationship, that doesn't want to be married, that isn't out here talking about building and establishing wealth and generational wealth for our children and our children's children to come. If you're not on that, then leave me alone.
I'm 100%. Good. Yeah, man. I think in closing, I think that I think marriage is very much alive mm-hmm. and it's still alive in son of in so many of us in the hopes of it. And I think it's what you, at the end of the day, it's what you make it. And if you believe in it, and if marriage is not for you, the marriage is just not for you. But I believe marriage is alive. I see it in relationships. You know, Sadia sees it in relationships that she has in her life. And I think it's depending on the examples that you have. If you don't have an example of it, then what are you going off of? But for those who do know, you know, that it's real and that it can survive. It don't even survive. It thrives.
Amen.
And it grows and it flourishes. Yes. And it passes on to the generations to come because it's real. We know that it's there. We know that it exists. And we know that it can happen in our lives and in the lives of who we touch.
And I don't know how many geeks that are listening out there. If you guys like Star Wars, it's like it's like the Return of the Jedi, right? It's like Star Wars, New Hope, you know? So yeah, that's how I feel. Like Irene says, it thrives. And date who wants what you want. Stop trying to convince people to do something that you want them to do or be something that they don't want to be or have it or do it just because you want to do it. It spares you a whole lot of heartbreak. Just date people who want what you want. Simple as pie.
And we had this episode, become the person you're looking for is looking for.
Okay, period. Pooh.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, so and
you'll connect with the right people.
I think it's only best, Irene, that we post this episode tonight because why not? Like they waited long enough.
Let's just do it.
Yes. Yay. All right. We love you guys. Thank you guys for listening to us. Yes. And we don't say it lightly. So thank you guys for listening, whether you're in your, I'm going to take the words of Clint, your Honda, your Legend, your Beamer, your Benz. Thank you for listening.
Hey. Yep. Bye guys.
Bye.